conversion experience takes place instantaneously. But the destruction that we work in our lives prior to the time we give Jesus charge sometimes takes time, oftentimes takes time for that to get reconstructed and remade. And I believe that's what Danny is referring to here. So uphold him and undergird him in your prayers. Anyone else want to share a word of testimony today? All right, well, let me ask you to turn in your Bibles to the third chapter of the book of Acts. I was reading through this very familiar story recently, and something just came alive to me. I'm sure this isn't something that others have not seen, and perhaps seen it much more clearly even than I saw it, but I saw it this time through clearer than I'd ever seen it before. This is the very familiar story of the man who had been lame from his mother's womb. He was, if I remember the story correctly, 40 years old when, 4:22 tells us that he was 40 years old when this great miracle took place in his life. And while a great healing miracle took place here, the Lord was showing me something else as I was reading it. And so let me read through the story. You follow along, and then I'll just kind of share with you what the Lord was laying on my heart. Years ago, what the Lord spoke to me was this. He said, "You teach the people what I'm teaching you. Don't you worry about having something to teach the people. You teach them what I'm teaching you." And I've tried to be faithful in doing that. That as he shows me something, I have a sensing as to whether that's just for me personally or whether that's something that he wants me to share with the congregation. And this is one of those situations today. Now, this would be shortly after the resurrection of Jesus. There were no churches in that day. And the new Christians continued to go to the Jewish temple where they had always gone to worship. There's something very striking, I think, about that fact. And that is that, you see, this is something I think Jewish people today need to understand. That for the New Testament Christian, he was worshiping the same God after the resurrection as he did before the resurrection. He was worshiping him in the same place. And it was not a surprise to see a Jewish Christian go to the Jewish temple and worship Jehovah God, because it was the same God simply revealed in the form of the man Jesus. And to the Jewish Christian, it was not a new religion. He simply had fulfilled he had received the fulfilling of the promises that were made to his father Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all of those that had gone before. To the New Testament Christian, the experience that the Jew has in the world today would be a surprise. It would surprise him to see Jewish synagogues and Christian churches, because in his day, that was not the case. The Jewish Christian went to the Jewish temple and he worshiped his God. Now, because the Christian faith had some significant differences, and that is the acceptance of Jesus Christ as the promised Messiah, they could not find full fellowship at the temple, obviously, and so they had much of their fellowship among one another in their homes. But when they went to church, they went to the temple. Are you listening? And so Peter and John, on this particular day, were going up together, verse number 1, into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, 3:00 in the afternoon. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. The word lifted here literally means roused him up, stirred him up. He didn't physically lift him. This is not the idea of Peter applying physical force, but rather taking him by the hand and stirring him to get up, rousing him up. And immediately, apparently the man attempted to get up. And when he did, immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, the word leaping up means springing forth. Leaping up, he stood and he walked and then entered with them into the temple, no longer begging at the gate, walking and leaping. This leaping means jumping and praising God. I guess he was. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? It's not us. It's not our ability. It's not our holiness. It's the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob. It's the God of our fathers hath glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just and desired rather a murderer to be granted unto you, Barabbas. And you killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Now, if you accept the veracity of the Word of God, that God's Word is true, who could deny that a great miracle occurred here? Here is a man who is 40 years old, and from the time of his birth, he never took a single step. He was lame. He was crippled. He was broken. In the presence of the men of God, and with the spoken name of the Lord Jesus, this man's circumstance, desperate as it was, is completely changed. Immediately, instantly, permanently, and totally, he is changed. He becomes not just a walking man, he becomes a jumping man, a leaping man, a praising man, and a man who attached himself to the other believers. You notice what he did? He grabbed a hold of Peter and John and went with them wherever they went. And the effect upon the people round about was awe. If they had known the song, they would have sung, Our God is an awesome God. But as I read this story this time, I saw that every man, myself included, when we are born, we are spiritually in the same condition that this poor wretch was in physically. From our mother's womb, we are crippled. At birth, we are lame. When we draw our first breath, we are broken. The physical lameness here, the fact that this man couldn't walk, is nothing compared to the spiritual condition of every human being when he draws his first breath. And as long as we live, whether it's 2 years or 20 years or 40 years, we will never be able to take a spiritual step unless we meet Jesus. 40 years this man was crippled. 37, I was crippled. Lame. Notice what this man did every day. He needed someone to carry him, to lay him at the temple gate, so that some religious people who are generally more compassionate than the rest of the world would take compassion upon this poor wretch and give him enough money, a few shekels, so he could do what? So he could make it through one more day. You think about what life must have been like for this poor wretch. Victor Hugo wrote a play called Les Miserables. The miserable ones. Nobody is more miserable than a newborn babe. Because the Word of God says that we are conceived in sin, we are birthed in sin, and when we come into this world, we come in with Adam's heritage. Lame, broken, and crippled. And all these years, think about what's been happening now. This man has been brought every day to the door of God's house. And what are people giving him? These compassionate souls are giving a nickel here, a dime here, a penny here, so that this poor man never changes his circumstances, never changes his condition. All it does is allow him to suffer in his misery one more day. Isn't that where lots and lots of people are today? There may be some like that in this place today, this morning. You were born crippled. You're still crippled. You've had a taste here and there to barely sustain life, but that's not what you need. What you need is not a few nickels to get by till tomorrow. You need a new life. You need to be recreated. You need to be made all over again. Now, this man, he saw some Christians going up to the house of God. He reached out his hand. Help me. Help me. All he wanted was a few pennies, so he could buy a crust of bread and a cup of milk so he could survive. But fortunately, these Christians knew that this man did not need a cup of milk and a crust of bread. This man needed Jesus Christ. He did not need a compassionate handout. He needed a new life. And Peter said to him, "What you think you need, sir, I don't have. Silver and gold have I none. But such as I have, I'm going to give to you. I'm going to give you not what you're asking for, I'm going to give you what you need. I'm so grateful to the Lord Jesus. I came into His house Sunday after Sunday after Sunday for the first 37 years of my life, getting a little bit of a fix, a little bit of a religious fix, a nice normal prayer, a little sermonette, a couple of hymns and a couple of handshakes from nice looking people, enough to get me through another couple of days. Say amen. Because you did too. And then one day, Jesus said, I'm not going to keep giving you what you think you need. I'm going to give you what you really need. And what you need is me. Such as I have, give I you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, be made whole. This broken, crippled, lame, and decaying man, all of a sudden, in the twinkling of an eye, became a new person. Isn't that what the new birth is like? Isn't that what it's like when you take a person who's... I'm thinking about you, brother. I'm glad you testified this morning, because I have you in my mind as I think about this passage of Scripture. Religion and religious people have obscured what the world really needs. See, we don't need religion. We don't need church. We don't need a few hymns. We don't need a few sermons. We need Jesus. Amen. This man got a whole lot more. Woo! He got a whole lot more than he was bargaining for. Thank God he was at least in the right place. If you're here today, you're at least in the right place. And the chances are very good that you can get what it is you need today. What every man needs is a work of God in his life from the inside out. Peter reached down, he spoke to this man, and he said, I'm going to give you what I have. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Rise up and live. Rise up and be a whole person. Rise up and have a... Do you have any idea what it would be like for a man who had lived his entire life, 40 long years, with a begging cup, to now all of a sudden not have to beg, not have to be carried, but to be able to walk? Do you have any conception what that must have been like for this man? That's what happens in a person's heart when he really gets born again, when he really receives Jesus Christ as his Savior, especially if he's lived a long time without Christ. Now, if a person is 6 years old and receives Christ, it's not that dramatic. But when a person's 36 years old and receives the Lord, it is that kind of drama. Now, what happened when that occurred? First of all, he went walking and leaping and praising whom? Praising God. And then I want you to notice in verse number 10 and 11. And they knew... That is the rest of the people. They knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened to him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them into the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering what has happened here. Tell us what is going on here. Explain to us what has occurred in this man's life. There was such an immediate, such a positive, such a total, and such an observable change in this man's life. Listen, when Jesus Christ gets a hold of your heart, you will be a different person. If you have not become a different person since you think you got born again, you did not get born again. Bless God, if you are crippled and now you can walk, you will know it, and so will everyone else. You will have a testimony, and you will not be embarrassed to share it. If you don't have a testimony, or if you're embarrassed to share yours, then you need to go back and meet Peter and John again. Amen. I can't tell you how many times I prayed before I finally believed. I grew up in the temple. But I never knew the God of the temple. Your experience with Christ will have an effect not only upon you, but it will have an effect on others as well. And if your life is not having an effect on others, you need to take a good look at where you are. Have you really been born again? Or have you simply been carried by others to the temple gate? Have you truly been made new, or are you still crippled and you have a new wheelchair? Where are you? Have you had the change take place in your life by the power of the Spirit of Jesus? Or are you still a 40-year-old cripple acting like you're not crippled? Where are you? Who are you? What is your spiritual condition? I believe that's the question that the Lord would have us ask each of ourselves as we read this story. I want everybody to bow their heads, please. No one looking about. I'm going to give you an opportunity to ask God where you are today. In a quiet moment here right now, I want you to pray. I want you to ask the Lord to confirm in your heart that you really have experienced the touch of the Master's hand. That you are no longer crippled in your spirit. That you really have been given a new life. And if you're not sure of that, I want you to step out from where you are today, and I want you to come forward here. I want you to come right to where I am. And I want you to say to me, I'm still lame. I need Jesus.